Okay, so we're talking today about robot baby penguins, and my name is Brandon Bryant, and I have Lois and Catherine back in the studio with me today. Welcome back, panelists.
Thanks, Brandon. Good to be here.
Are you excited to talk about penguins?
I really like penguins. Yeah. I really think they're fun.
They are cute. They're very, very cute.
How about all those penguin movies? Have you seen any of those?
I've seen them all.
I haven't. I've only seen one.
Lois, you have
a thing for penguins. I have a thing for penguin movies, and I really recommend our readers, especially if they have children, but even if they don't, to sit down and have some fun learning English through these fun movies. Three of them are cartoons, and one of them is with Jim Carrey, which is not a cartoon, but I like Happy Feet 1, Happy Feet 2, Surf's Up, Mr. Popper's Penguins, that's the one with Jim Carrey. So yeah, I'm kind of into penguins.
Oh yeah, I think I've seen Surf's Up. That's
yes,
kind of a cute
it's
one.
It's a though. Very cute one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cartoon, right?
Animation? Yes, cartoon yes. as well. Animation, yes.
Well, we're not talking about animated penguins. We're talking about robot baby penguins, and they are infiltrating an Antarctic colony. What is meant by the word infiltrate, Catherine?
Well, if you infiltrate something, that means that you go into a group or organization and you become a member to try and gather information about that activity. So what they're saying here is that this robot baby penguin is going to kind of join up with the colony to see what they do.
Right.
Apparently secretly. So it's almost like this robot baby penguin is a spy.
That's right. That's a good point, Lois. And so they're doing research. They're conducting research. Scientists are, and they're using this robot to collect data. And they're going into a colony, and a colony here is talking about a group. So a group of penguins. And we've seen this sort of thing before, I guess, where they use some sort of robots to collect data. But this is kind of funny. I watched the videos to just look at what was going on, and the penguins were like pecking at the little robot, and it was really cute. And even one of them, the penguins were following the robotic machine, the rover, as we see here. And so it's very interesting to watch, but I'm also interested in the facts that come about as a result of this. So as we look at this article today, we'll look more into some of those facts and see what's going on. And you'll see the word, I've talked about the word data, or sometimes it's said as data. You can say it either way. So if you hear me say it both ways, don't be too alarmed. You can say it either way.
Yes.
All right, so panelists, what is your take on this whole idea of having a robot baby penguin?
Well, I think it's probably a good idea because I think you can, we'll use a good vocabulary focus word, infiltrate the whole penguin colony so much easier than somebody kind of, I don't know, ducking down and around a human.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to become, suspicious and probably not act normal. They'll be very nervous. Whereas this might actually be able to do the trick of the kind of research they actually need.
Okay. Catherine?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Lois, and I feel like this kind of thing, I was looking at some other articles online, and it seems like this kind of thing is just the beginning in new ways of scientists studying animals and everything. It's a way that they can get into animal colonies and be way inconspicuous and, mm-hmm. you know, learn a lot about their natural behaviors without humans lurking around. So it's pretty cool.
Right. So the penguins will not be so suspicious of these robots because they, in some cases, at least they kind of look like penguins, mm-hmm. the robots they're sending out there. I think in most cases that's what's happening. And so versus a human, that's not going to be as problematic. And
right.
I see that actually come out here in this article. Well, let's go ahead and open our magazines. If you have your magazine in front of you, please open it to page 31, and we will have our first reading for today.
Robot baby penguin infiltrates Antarctic colony. For decades, humans have built rovers to visit places we can't easily reach, including the moon and Mars. Now, scientists have built a rover to explore another challenging target, colonies of adorable penguins. A team led by scientists from the University of Strasbourg in France have built a rover that looks like a fluffy penguin chick, allowing it to get close to individual birds without ruffling too many feathers along the way. Approaching wild animals to collect data on their phenotypic traits induces stress, escape behavior, and potentially breeding failure, and therefore jeopardizes the quality of the collected data, the study authors wrote.
So we find out here at the beginning that rovers aren't new. For decades, humans have been building them, but they've been visiting places like...
Okay, they've been visiting places like the Moon and Mars, so this is coming down a little by just being at the bottom of the Earth in Antarctic.
Yes, that's for sure. And so a rover, of course, is a machine, right, Catherine?
That's right. A rover is a machine that can, or a vehicle that it travels over lots of different types of terrain. So you can kind of send it into anywhere that is hard for humans to get to.
Okay.
It kind of reminds me of, like, Star Wars movie. Does
mm-hmm.
it remind you of Star
sure.
Wars movie?
It does.
Do you think it makes little sounds like, what was that, R2-D2?
Maybe.
I never saw Star Wars.
Okay. Well, moving on. Now scientists have built a rover to explore another challenging target, these colonies of adorable penguins. And I can hear a lot of ladies saying,
aww. Of course they're adorable.
Halka-eye, right?
Yeah.
Very halka-eye. Well, it is a challenging target, and they are trying to collect data, and so we have to see if it will work. Well, a team led by scientists from the university here in France, they've built a rover that looks like a fluffy penguin chick, and so it's going in disguise, right? So maybe it won't be as noticeable.
Yeah, it seems like a long way away for a University of Strasbourg in France to be interested in penguins all the way down in the Antarctic. It's totally different continents,
mm-hmm.
totally different weather, totally different terrain.
Sure, that's a good point, Lois. So it allows it to get close to individual birds. Having this rover go in, the rover is able to get very close to individual birds without bothering them too much. And we have a phrase here that describes that.
That's right. And that phrase is to ruffle someone's feathers. And if you do that, that just means that you cause someone else to be upset. So the scientists don't want to upset the birds or bother them at all or ruffle their feathers.
Catherine, do people sometimes ruffle your feathers?
Do people sometimes ruffle my feathers? I won't get into that, Brandon, but I think you know the answer.
Okay, well, all of us probably have times when people ruffle our feathers
right.
or cause us to become upset. Right, Lois?
Exactly. It's a good idiom, isn't it?
It is. Okay, but we don't want to upset the penguins too much, right? And so that's why they are sending in these robot baby penguins, hoping that they won't bother them too much because they look like penguins even though mm-hmm. they're a machine.
They're incognito, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they don't really look like penguins, but... they try to disguise them, mm-hmm. you know, compared to humans.
Anyway. Yes, they look more like penguins than humans would look like penguins, that's for sure. Brandon.
Well, now we hear from the study authors, and what do they start off with, Catherine?
Well, they say that approaching wild animals to collect data on their phenotypic traits induces stress, escape behavior, and potentially breeding failure.
Well, what does the word phenotypic mean?
Well, those are the characteristics of a living thing, and they are qualities that you can see. So these are a person's physical traits, like the color of their hair, or the color of their eyes.
So they're trying to collect data on these traits, or collect information concerning these traits, and this can cause problems for the penguins. It can cause stress,
mm-hmm.
and they want to get away. We see that phrase there, escape behavior. Well, this is some foreign object in their territory, so they want to get away, right, Lois?
Right, right. And one thing I know that scientists do not want to interfere with is the breeding of the penguins, and that's what it mentions here too. And it says they don't want to jeopardize the quality of the collected data the study authors wrote. So here we're going to have a situation where this little roving penguin is a lot better idea, and we are going to reduce the stress for the living penguins.
That's right, and because they don't want to jeopardize the quality of the data. And if you jeopardize something, well, you can just mess it all up, right?
That's right, and it can also mean that you put something in danger. You can jeopardize a person or an animal by doing something that could potentially cause them harm.
So they don't want to jeopardize the quality of the data, and they hope that by sending in these robots, these rovers, that they can avoid jeopardizing the quality of the data. And again, this is from the authors who wrote this study. But is there a solution? Well, we've kind of already talked about the solution, but that's the next part of our reading. Let's have our second reading for today.
A possible solution: send in a wheeled robot to do the work. But the researchers needed to prove the rover's worth. In Antarctica, the scientists studied the reactions of king penguins on Possession Island. A human who invaded a penguin's personal space caused the bird's heart rate to jack up much higher than a rover did, the researchers found. A king penguin who feels threatened can shuffle away even while keeping its egg or baby chick balanced on its feet. When the rover approached, penguins would move an average of 8 centimeters. But when humans approached, the birds moved a whopping 43 centimeters. On top of that, the penguins' movements pushed them into the space of other nearby penguins. Since king penguins can be territorial, the disturbance would ripple through the colony, resulting in fights and chaos for many rows beyond the target bird's area. So the rover, while not perfect, was a marked improvement.
So, of course, we see that the solution is to send in these rovers, these robot baby penguins, to do the work instead of humans, because humans will upset the penguins too much. But they were not quite sure if this would work, so we see here the researchers needed to prove the rover's worth. If you have to prove something's worth, what are you actually needing to do?
Well, you need to show other people that this thing actually has value and means something.
I would think you would need to do that for funding. Okay,
right.
So this is funding, the university's being funded, the study's being funded. That's what they need to do.
Sure, they need to make sure it works so they can raise money and get support for this project. I'm sure that's part of it. Well, in Antarctica, the scientists studied the reactions of king penguins. And had you heard of king penguins before, panelists?
Well, yeah, because I like penguin movies and penguin documentaries.
Okay, very well.
So I see that we have in our specialized terms, Brandon, king penguin, a large penguin found in the sub-Antarctic region and often identified by the orange oval on its face and the yellow patch on its throat. And this is not, though, the largest penguin, Brandon and Catherine. There's one bigger called the emperor penguin, but looks very similar, just larger.
That's right, and so the king penguin is the second largest penguin, and actually, as I was looking up some information, I went on to the BBC website, and it says that king penguins are really good parents, actually, and one parent will guard the chick, and the other makes a trip up to 400 kilometers in search of food, okay? Mm. And when the young are old enough, they are left with other chicks and or other juveniles, as it says here. So that both parents can search for food. So they really take care of their little baby chicks.
Right, and they're very large, like much larger than maybe the ones you've seen in aquariums or zoos, because they tend to have the little small penguins, I'm forgetting what we call them. But I'm often wondering if the king penguin is where we get the term kingpin.
Oh, maybe.
And because they often look like that. They actually look very much like, if you ever go bowling, they actually look like the pins in bowling and the shape of them. And I kind of wonder if that's where we got the term from, is these king
Could
penguins.
Be. That's a really good point, Lois. Well, going back to something you just said, Lois, have you ever seen a penguin? You mentioned something about a zoo. Have
yes.
you seen penguins?
You know, one of the most exciting places I saw penguins was actually in Sydney, Australia. They have a fabulous aquarium and zoo there, and I believe I saw them in both there. But the reason why it's so fabulous is they're not too far from where they actually come from mm-hmm. when you're down there at the very bottom of the southern hemisphere. Mm-hmm. And they seem much more active than if you see penguins maybe in zoos or aquariums in Europe or North America.
Sure. Catherine, have you ever seen a penguin?
Yes, I have. I've seen them in a zoo as well. I can't remember which one I was at, and they were smaller than these penguins, but I remember I really enjoyed watching them swim. They had a part where you could go kind of underneath, and there was a window to the water, and they were beautiful. Like, they just glide through the water, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I've also seen them in the zoo, and so I'm sure, listeners, if you haven't seen a penguin yet, maybe your local zoo
exactly.
has some. So
just phone ahead or go on their website, and they'll tell you if they have them.
That's
and
right.
You often find with movies that come out or very popular documentaries that all of a sudden if they feature something like a penguin, all of a sudden the zoos are very busy in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, so here the scientists are studying the reactions of king penguins here on Possession Island. And a human who invaded a penguin's personal space caused a lot of problems, right, Catherine?
That's right. One thing it did was it caused the bird's heart rate to jack up much higher. And if we use that phrase jack up, that just means that it went up. Its heart rate elevated very, very quickly.
Okay, and they're comparing it to the rover. When the rover went in, there wasn't as much of a problem. And
right,
so,
not as much chaos, right?
That's right, and so we saw here just earlier that they needed to prove the rover's worth. Well, this is a good point. They're starting to prove its worth because it's doing a better job than the humans were. Okay, so a king penguin who feels threatened can shuffle away even while keeping its egg. And you can see that image in your mind of those penguins just shuffling along, right?
Exactly.
And when they shuffle away, they can keep their eggs or baby chicks balanced on their feet.
That's amazing.
They're talented.
They sure are.
And so it's important that you don't upset them too much, though, because you don't know what problems that could cause. Of course, we see here that we don't want their heart rate to go up too much, and so these rovers are helping with that. Well, when the rover approached, penguins would move an average of 8 centimeters, and then when you compare that to humans, we see that the birds moved a whopping 43 centimeters. So we see
more than 5 times as much when a human approaches.
Right.
That's incredible.
It is, and so we see the data here. We see that there's a big change.
That's right, and we know this because the author uses the word whopping, and that just seems very, very big. And you can also see the numerical difference between 8 centimeters and 43 centimeters.
But there's more. On top of that, or we could say in addition to this, the penguins' movements push them into the space of other nearby penguins.
Yes, and you know what? I'm just getting reminded of another penguin movie. Reading this.
What's that?
Well, you said top, and then you said the word penguins, and then I thought of Top Hat, and then I thought of Mary Poppins movie with Dick Van Dyke as a penguin.
I've seen Mary Poppins.
Exactly. That's our first introduction to some fun penguins in a movie.
There's another kids' penguin movie that I used to watch over and over, and I've been sitting here trying to think about it, but we don't need to go into that.
Okay. Well, once again, we'll get back to page 31 here. The penguins' movements push them into the space of other nearby penguins. And since king penguins can be territorial, this is a potential problem. Now, if an animal is territorial, what does that mean?
That can be very scary, because what an animal often gets territorial is because they either have a nest or they have young nearby. So at certain times of the year, for instance, the spring, an animal, mammal, whatever, is often very territorial, and they will fiercely protect what is their territory.
That's right. They want to protect their territory, because if you're territorial as an animal, you're considering that area to be yours.
Mm-hmm.
And if another animal comes in, or other penguins that aren't part of your group, that could cause chaos, as we see here, even fights to start up and break out. And so we see that they're when the penguins are territorial, the disturbance would ripple through the colony, and that makes me think of like a wave or water rippling.
That's right. We often use this word ripple when we're talking about water. If you drop a rock in water, you can see waves rippling out from that point. So what they're saying here is that if the king penguins move into other colonies, the effect would kind of ripple through farther and farther outward.
Because more colonies would be disturbed. We call that like a ripple effect,
right?
And that can be used in other situations, of course. And it could result in chaos, where there's no order. This penguin's fighting and upset. So, and it says this could go for many rows beyond the target bird's area. And, of course, that emphasizes the whole ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
So the rover, while not perfect, was a marked improvement, Lois.
Yes. And when they say marked improvement here, we look at our vocabulary focus, and it says obvious or noticeable. So it is a noticeable improvement.
Okay.
And that's really what the scientists are looking for.
Yes, we're looking for improvement. Well, let's have our last reading for today's newsworthy clip.
Such robots could be used to investigate the lives of all kinds of animals without disturbing them, the way a human scientist's presence would, the study authors wrote. And who knows, perhaps future robots could even be outfitted to follow around swimming and flying critters too.
So we have good news here. In the future, they could use these robots for possibly other investigations as far as, you know, investigating animals and doing research, right? So we're off on the right foot, Catherine.
That's right. And, you know, there are some other good things about it. When I was preparing for this panel, I was reading that this kind of rover can also help scientists because it protects them from having to go into an environment that could potentially be very dangerous. So it keeps humans safe as well.
Okay, and then we end here with a question that says, and who knows, perhaps future robots could even be outfitted to follow around swimming and flying critters so they could build on what they're already doing. And of course the term outfitted here means like equipped. In other words, they could go and areas where animals are swimming or even flying possibly to collect data.
Yeah, and I found that word because it's not a word we use much where I'm from in Canada or in the part of North America I'm from, the word critters.
Yes, that would be more common where I am from in the southern
and
part
me.
Of the United States. Yes.
So let's explain this word to some of our readers.
It just means creature. A critter is a creature.
Okay.
Like a smaller animal.
Right.
Like I'm thinking like raccoons and squirrels and stuff.
Right.
And foxes and that sort of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. So there you go. There's maybe a new word for you listeners. Well, panelists, I would like to get a final word from you. What are your thoughts about these robots, these rovers going in and collecting data?
I think it's a great idea, especially if it's actually protecting animals, in this case protecting the penguins. And I think they can probably get so much more information than how they were previously doing it with human beings going in and actually, you know, causing chaos and making the animals petrified, probably.
That's right. And we learned that they needed to prove the rover's worth, and they've done that, at least so far, right? And so, Catherine, your thoughts about using this method?
Well, I think it's really interesting because you can see an animal's natural habits and the way that they act more when they're not being observed by people. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about this if they take it further in the future.
All right. Well, we've learned a lot today about these baby penguins, these robot baby penguins. And yesterday, of course, we talked about not putting your spine at risk. So we have two very different articles. And I encourage you to go back and review words on both days. Maybe not the words that we have marked. Maybe there are other words like critter, for example, that you find interesting. And you can just review those words and practice saying them. And look at the definitions, review those definitions. And also, I want to encourage you to check out the QR codes at the top of page 30. There are 4 QR codes, which link to our Topic Talk videos. And you can check out features. You can check out the introduction to this Newsworthy Clips article and much more. So if you have a smart device, be sure to do that. And just one fun fact before we leave today that I did not share earlier. If you're wondering exactly the size of the king penguins, they are actually about 85 to 95 centimeters tall, and they weigh anywhere from about 14 to 16 and a half kilograms. And so they are the second largest penguin, right after the emperor penguins. A little fun fact as we leave today. And we have one more day of Newsworthy Clips, so be sure to join us. Panelists, will you be back for day 3?
We will, for sure.
All right, so listeners, please join us for tomorrow's edition of Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon,
Catherine,
and Lois
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.